All right, we are back. I'm Janine. This is Get the Funk Out. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. So the next half of the show, we are going to be in conversation with director Anna Toomey, and we're talking about her powerful film called Left Behind. If you head on over to the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org, I have the image of the film, and I have all the information about the film. And it is an inspiring story of a group of determined moms who band together to create the first public dyslexic school in the largest school district in America, New York City. Approximately 200,000 New York City public school students are dyslexic. Yet, there is no public initiative that provides the specialized skill and care necessary for these learners. And Anna is going to tell me how this film came about and what's happened since. She's joining us now. Hi, Anna. Thanks so much for calling in.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for having me.
When I heard about this film from Adam Siegel out of New York, I thought, I've got to have her on. This it just seems so incredible. Tell me how you decided to get on board with this film, Left Behind.
Thank you. So my son was diagnosed with dyslexia when he was 8 years old. And, you know, his school didn't diagnose him. It was really, you know, we saw him going into first grade, excited to be there, excited to start reading, and he couldn't do it. He couldn't read like all the other kids. And, you know, so many kids that we talk to say it's just something in their brain that's stopping them.
Sure.
And he became incredibly angry, frustrated, and thought of himself as an angry, dumb kid. And that was just at 5 years old. So it's heartbreaking, and we really couldn't get the resources that we need from his public school. We ended up getting a diagnosis through a neuropsych, but that alone cost us $8,000.
Whoa.
And we had to send him to a private school. And I realized that, you know, we were incredibly fortunate we could do that. But majority of people aren't able to do that. And so I didn't understand when there's 20% of the population is dyslexic, why these kids are not being evaluated and educated in our public system.
Yeah.
So I would, you know, I just kept doing research and getting involved as you know, sort of, I was, at the time, I was a producer at ABC News. So, and then I came across this article about these women who were setting out to start the first public school for dyslexic children in New York City. And
amazing.
I followed their story for 2 years.
2 years?
2 years when they were, you know, trying to get the school made. They started, I think, in 2019, and then they actually opened the school in 2023. So I guess I filmed them for a good 2 or 3 years of that period.
And it was, there's so many interesting things about this film. You point out that about 50% of people who are incarcerated are dyslexic.
Yeah. I was
huge.
Shocked when I saw that statistic. And I mean, that was one of the reasons why I wanted to do this film is, as a journalist, I thought, how does that occur? How is it that 50% of our incarcerated individuals are dyslexic? And, you know, the story follows, one of the stories is a single mom raising her son who is unable to read and has been in school. She's tried to teach him, and there's clearly something that is stopping him.
Mm-hmm.
And the school denies that there's anything wrong. They don't test him. And that's what happens to so many kids. They feel they're undervalued in school. They're teased. They're bullied. And they really internalize this feeling of, I am not capable of learning.
Yeah.
And so they fall further and further behind. 35% more dyslexic children will drop out of school. And, you know, then where do you go if you can't read? Unfortunately, crime is, you know, one of the avenues.
Sure.
And so really you see that large number in prison.
Yeah. I mean, you know, one of the things you point out is that all students need to be assessed, but teachers need to be trained because there really wasn't a proper program in place, right?
Yeah, I mean, for such a long time, you know, one of the women that we follow in the film, she was a public school teacher and was never trained in really how to teach kids how to read. It's you know, or assess a child that might have dyslexia.
Mm-hmm.
And she then got her master's in literacy and still did not really know how to teach kids to read. So finally, she trained in Wharton-Gillingham, which is a method that is used to teach kids who are dyslexic. And she tutored kids. But, you know, it's teachers aren't being trained. And so if teachers aren't trained, then, you know, the whole system, like school psychologists aren't evaluating and aware.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of trickles down, unfortunately.
Yeah. So the team of moms, they partnered with the, is it the Windward Institute to train public school teachers?
Yeah, so the Windward Institute is an institution here in New York, and they have an amazing training program and two schools. And so they did. They partnered with Windward, and Windward mm-hmm. trained Department of Education teachers within New York City. And then they did a pilot school for a year, and then officially opened the school in fall of 2023. And that was for second and third graders. There were 67 second and third graders in that first year. And when I spoke to the moms after the first year, they said every single one of those kids made progress.
Amazing.
And these are kids that had never made progress in kindergarten, first grade.
Yeah.
And so the results were incredible.
Yeah. And this is the Bronx Literacy Academy, right?
Yep, it's the South Bronx Literacy Academy, and that was the first school that they opened, and it's now in its second year. They have they added another grade, so now it's second, third, and fourth grade, and they're on track to open a second location in Brooklyn, New York, hopefully next fall.
Okay, and what about Manhattan? Would they ever open one in Manhattan?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I mean, their goal is to open one in every district, truthfully. You know, and, you know, they want to work with really any superintendents that mm-hmm. they can and want to open some sort of school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think the idea is they decided they wanted to open a public school, even though it was a harder route than a charter.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to get the conversation started within the Department of Education, within the public system, right? I mean, I
yeah.
think that needs to change. The mentality needs to change of, we can no longer deny that this is an issue, that this is a problem, that there is not this large number of kids that are falling through the cracks.
Right.
And so their hope is that the more teachers they can train, they can go back to their districts and train other teachers. And it really becomes a part of the system. You know, teachers, I think, are desperate to learn how, you know, to teach kids how to read and to teach kids who have dyslexia, you know, and they just haven't been given those resources. So I think having that in the system is what they really want.
I mean, when you think about the domino effect of training the teachers and it affects the mental health of the students and their future, the trajectory of their future, all by investing in education, it's a win-win. I mean, to not do that will continue this cycle of, you know, these kids ending up incarcerated.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's, I think, what has resonated so much about this film and this issue is that it really is very solvable. And the film is meant to inspire. These women took the heartbreak that they saw with their own children, really wanted to change the system for hundreds of thousands of kids in New York City. And, you know, they were triumphant. And, you know, the hope is that more and more families, parents, advocates, educators can see this film and look at their own district, How can I make a change here? How can I make some noise and make sure that all of these kids are educated? And that's, you know, that was, I think it is possible. You know, it's really such a great example of local politics.
Yes.
How a group of women who are on the front lines can make that change.
Yeah. I hope that this group of women has grown.
They have. I mean, you know, one of the women actually went on to serve on the Dyslexia Task Force for New York State,
That's
which
great.
Is incredible.
Yes.
So she's making changes at a state level. They've also, you know, they're doing a lot of advocacy work beyond the schools. They, you know, one of them is teacher training. They're working on how do we get this into graduate programs, into teacher training programs. So they are doing advocacy within New York. And I think there's a lot of groups across the country, you know, so many mothers that I've spoken to, so many other groups that, you know, I think are, you know, are really doing what they can in their areas and their cities and districts.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, this can kind of motivate and inspire and potentially create a roadmap.
I would think so. And what comes to mind for me is also perhaps some centers around different parts of New York that are maybe after school or weekend centers where kids can continue to fine-tune those skills and, you know, do things outside of the classroom. Perhaps, you know, somebody will invest in some kind of business that, you know, almost like a chain where there are these centers that take the pressure off of teachers, but it becomes this continuation of what the important work they're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that you're totally right in the sense that there isn't one solution necessarily.
That's
and,
right.
you know, they saw it as this independent school.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a lot of ways to do this, whether it's after school tutoring. And I know there's some great dyslexia children centers that are doing that and incredible.
Yes.
So I do think you're right. I think there's, it's not a one-size-fits-all. Every school district is different. And so I think it's more about, you know, giving the power to those on the ground.
Yes.
You know, I think that, you know, it's getting the conversation started and how you can really serve those kids at, you know, their level.
You bet. And when I talk about those centers, it can't be that people can't afford to go. It has to be that, you know, some kind of funding or grants or something where everybody has access.
Yep. You know? Yeah, no, I completely agree. And there's, you know, I think there's a lot of work getting done, you know, at all levels. It's the same with, unfortunately, the testing. You know, these tests, the neuropsychs that you need to get in order to diagnose, those are incredibly expensive. And again, cost prohibitive for many.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's groups that are trying to, you know, get those paid for.
Good.
Or donating their services or other ways that we can evaluate kids at a younger age so we can at least get a sense of, hey, there's a red flag here. You know, there's a good chance this child will have difficulties in reading. And how can we help that child at an early age instead of waiting for them to fail in third grade, in fourth grade?
By the way, I loved how you integrated animation into the film because there was a moment where a boy, you know, would avoid the classroom. He was embarrassed. I mean, you could feel these feelings he was having. What was that process like, that decision to integrate animation?
You know, a lot of it, truthfully, as, you know, seeing my own son struggle with how he felt at such a young age, I didn't really feel comfortable as a mom, but also as a director and a filmmaker, of putting kids on camera at their most vulnerable time.
Yeah.
I felt like that was what they were going through was so difficult, and so many of the kids that we followed were so anxious, depressed, So I wanted to somehow convey to the audience that this is what a child goes through. So we actually used audio for a lot of the kids, and we spoke to them off of camera. And then through that audio, we created these animations really express in a very different way what a child feels, what a child goes through. And that was really important for us to convey that feeling, because it is such a big part of having dyslexia is, you know, you feel your self-esteem, the confidence really plummets. And there is such an embarrassment, a shame, and it's so misunderstood. And we really wanted to make sure that we conveyed those feelings that a child experiences, and in a way that was comfortable for them as well, and that I think kids can relate to. And so animation just seemed like a great way to do that.
It
and
really
I worked with this great animation company, iCartoons, down in Miami, and they just, you know, they took these voices of kids and, you know, and some of the adults and experts that, that talk about what kids go through and created them. And I agree. I think it's incredibly powerful.
It really is. It really is. Is there anyone you want to give a shout out to? I know there's a huge list of people behind the film.
Yeah, I mean, we have an absolutely incredible team behind us, and really all of the producers that are involved in this project either have kids that are dyslexic or themselves are dyslexic. My first producer that I started working with, Chris Farrell, on this project, and he brought on Larry Mullen Jr. Uh-huh. from U2, who is the drummer of U2. And
I saw
he
that.
Actually wrote two original songs for the film. His son is dyslexic, and the way that he captures that emotion through drums is just amazing. And then we have two other producers, Sean Edward Beal and David Beal of Green Hummingbird Entertainment. And again, they have elevated this film to such extraordinary levels. It's really such a team sport when you're a tiny team of independent filmmakers, and you really have to do everything. And I am incredibly grateful for the team supporting this film.
That's fantastic. I want to just tell listeners they can learn more at leftbehindthefilm.com. Is there anything else you'd like to leave us with about the film?
Yeah, I think, you know, our goal is to really roll this out and to an outreach campaign, an impact campaign. And so, you know, on our website, there's a way that you can reach out to us. You know, we've gotten hundreds of moms, dads, organizations across the world who have responded. And, you know, our goal is to really bring this film to everywhere across the country. So if you are, if this issue affects you, you're personally want to tell us your story and are willing to possibly help volunteer or host a screening, we would love that. And so go on our website, sign up, and we will get in touch with you.
That's great. Now, I know, did you do a screening here in L.A.?
We haven't yet. So
okay.
We actually have, we're going to be premiering in theaters starting on January 17th in New York.
Okay.
And I think in L.A., it's tentative right now, but it should be the end of January. So
okay.
That will be up on our website as well. But we are planning to be there for a good week in L.A. At the end of January.
Great. I'd love to come to that.
We would love to have you.
Yeah, that would be great. I put all your information up on the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kci.org, and there is a trailer up there as well. And then where can people see this? They need to wait till January?
Yes, you have to wait till January. It'll be in the theaters.
Okay.
So at this point, you know, we're not streaming it, but, you know, hope to in the future. But at this point, yeah, it'll be in theaters in January, so definitely, definitely come out to see it. And we should have some Q&As as well. With myself, some of the participants, and local supporters.
Great.
So, yeah, that's definitely.
And lastly, I didn't ask this. Tell me what has transpired since, you know, Mayor Adams mentioned that he wanted to have all kids tested. Has there been momentum? Have you seen positive changes?
Yeah, there's definitely been momentum, and it's been spoken about a lot more. I think the reading curriculum itself, going back to really, the science of reading, structured literacy, is great that that's going to be implemented within schools in New York City. I think it's a slower rollout than he had maybe anticipated, but I think that's just because it's a lot of kids and it's a lot of change and it's a lot of...
It is.
I think it's going to take a little bit, but just the fact that, New York City schools is willing to do that and have taken notice of this issue, I mean, they really can be a champion for this.
You bet.
If it can get done in New York City, it really can get done anywhere. So I'm really hopeful that New York stands true to what they have promised, and that we'll see a really great difference in kids reading.
Yeah, and the trajectory of their lives, because to flip the story to something positive with their life, being able to read and they go on to do other things,
100%. And that's, I think, the beauty of this issue as well, is you're bringing up people who think differently. Dyslexics think differently. They may be more creative. They think outside of the box, but they're incredibly talented, intelligent people. And if we can lift those minds, those voices up, that will change society. That will change the way that the world approaches life issues. One of our characters in the film talks about, the cure for cancer could be in a dyslexic brain. And we should be bringing up these children instead of silencing their voices. So I think it has the potential to really bring about, a loss of potential that is out there. And that's I think, what makes this issue so special.
That's fantastic. I want to thank you so much for calling in. I've really enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you for having me. And your show is incredible and so needed.
Thank you.
So thank you for doing what you're doing and for having me here. I really appreciate it.
And let me know when you're out in L.A.
I will. I will get in touch with you.
Okay.
And I would love to meet you in person.
Sounds great, Anna. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye.
That was director Anna Toomey talking about her powerful film, Left Behind. Again, you can see the trailer up on the show blog at thefunkoutshow.kuci.org. You can head over to kuci.org if you're not familiar with our shows. We have a huge mix of public affairs, music shows. Up next is SoCal New Waver with Past Forward. Great show if you haven't caught that one. That's coming up at 10 o'clock. And this show will be a podcast within an hour after I wrap, so sometime around 11. And if you're interested in being a guest, or if you know of a guest, you can send me a pitch to Janeane, J-A-N-E-A-N-E, at KUCI.org. Have a great week, everyone. I'll be back next week. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.